We begin the current daf Masech the Sukkah daf Lamadal. Begin 5 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah of the previous daf. And that is, we started talking about the halachas of the Arabas, and that is because it says in the Torah that one of the Dalminim is the Arvi Nachal, is the willow that grows by the brook. Now the Gemara continues explaining how we know that it's what we call the Arabas and not some other type. So the Gemara says, turn around, learn the Braisa. Arvi Nachal, it says the willow that grows by the brook. Hagedelus ala Nachal, it refers to that which grows by the brook. Prat letzavtzefa, that comes to exclude the tzavtzefa hagedela bin the harm which grows between the mountains. And that's how we know that it's a rav and not tzavtzefa. So I'm Reb Zeir Mikra. Reb Zeir says, what pasuk tells us that the tzavtzefa is worse and it's not a type of a rav, where although we said that it has to be avri nachal, as we explained on the previous daf, that there are different inclusions, even those which don't grow by the nachal, which are baal, which grow in the field that just grows from the rain, or that grows in the mountains. How do we know that from arve, which we said, according to one opinion, comes to include other types of aravis, and that's why it says in the plural, how do we know that it does not include tzavtzeva, and that tzavtzeva is considered something that's worse off than the regular aravis? So now the Gemara brings a pasuk in Yecheskel, which says, koch amayim rabim, that you take something that grows by multiplicity of water, tzavtzefa sama, and then they turned it into tzavtzefa. Now, as the Gemara will shortly explain in the name of Ravo, that we're talking about something that's rooted and that takes place by mayim rabim, by many water, which is a reference to the nachal, and you make it and you turn it into tzavtzefa, which obviously is a grace, it's diminishing what it originally was. And this was said in the context of the teicha, of the rebuke, which was said to Yecheskel. So therefore we see that the tzavtzeva is not on the same level as what the arvei nachal is. So the Gemara asks, I'm like, Abaya asked, but v'dilma perusha kama farish, maybe it's not, maybe it is the same thing, and it's explaining. Kacha mayim rabim, the pasuk is saying, take what grows by many waters, umayni, what is it? That's tzavtzeva, that's the tzavtzeva. So the Gemara says, no, imkein my samay. So then what would it mean when it says, and they place it, meaning they make it into tzavtzeva? What do you mean? It is already. What do you mean samay? Obviously, as we said, that the pasuk is saying the arvei nachal has to be something that grows by the nachal, must be excluding the tzavtzeva which grows by the mountains, which we asked, how do you know there are aravis that grow by the mountain or osa kasher? Because tzavtzeva is not the same as the aravis, as we see from this pasuk, that it's a grace, it's a lower level, it's a demotion from an aravis to the tzavtzeva. As the Gemara explains now the mashal of that teichacha in the pasuk in Yecheskel, Amar Bavar Bavosa, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Ani amarti sheyu Yisrael lefanai kakacha mayim ram. I said the Jewish people should be in front of me like that which is taken by many waters. In other words, something like the aravas. Umayniu arava. Vehein sama atzman kitzavtzeva shabarma. What did they make themselves? They made themselves worse off than what I wanted them to be, which are like the tzavtzeva that grow in the mountains. Those who bring in this pasuk in the Braisa itself, and that is the Braisa itself quoted the pasuk, not like as we had in the first version that it was Reb Zeru who alluded to it on the pasuk. And the question that in the first version had Abaya asked is now in the second version it's actually Reb Zeru that asked that question on the Braisa, and therefore the answer that then says to the my summit, then what is the summit that obviously shows that it's a transition, not explanation, is therefore it's not attributed to anyone in specific, which as the Gemara brings, that kacha mayim rabim tzavtzeva samoy. That the pasuk says, and this is the Braisa itself that's quoting the pasuk, that we see that obviously that we're excluding an arvei nachal, that we're excluding something that grows in the mountains, must be the tzavtzeva because that's a demotion, that's something that's worse off than the mayim rabim. Which maskev Reb Zeir asked for dima kapurish kamefarish. Maybe it's an explanation that the second half of the pasuk is saying, that kacha mayim rabim, saying that taking something that grows by many waters, my new tzavtzeva, that's a tzavtzeva, so how do you know that tzavtzeva is not the same as that rava? And that the Gemara answered, whoever this was, imkain, my summa, if that would be the case, what summa that's being placed, it sounds like that's transitioning in a demotion from what was mayim rabim to tzavtzeva, and obviously it's not the same thing, and that's how we know that for our ravis, it has to be that which we call our ravis, and not this what's called tzavtzeva. Amar Bevo says, and as it said in the first version, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Ani Amarti Shi Yisrael Lefanei Kakach Mayim Rabim. I said the Jewish people should be in front of me like that which is taken the Mayim Rabim, Mayim Niu Arava. What is it that the Arava's? Vein Sama Atzma Ketzavtzeva Shem, and they made themselves something that's worse off, which is like the Tzavtzeva in the mountains. Now the Gemara explains, we're discussing this, Arava's kosher, Tzavtzeva's not, so Tabban Lein Lebraisa. Ezuhu Arava Ve'ezu Tzavtzeva. What is the Arava, which is kosher, the willow, and what's Tzavtzeva, which is not kosher? So arava, the Gemara gives different definitions, characteristics of arava to know what it is that you could use this by the dalminim for the lulav. Kana shela adam, its stem is red. Va'ala shela mashach, its leaves are elongated, that it's drawn out like more in an oval shape. Upia, and literally means its mouth, which means the edge of the leaves are chalak, they're smooth, and they're not made with different ridges. Whereas tzatzifa, which is the one that's pasul, kana shela lavan, its stem is white. Va'ala shela ogul, and its leaf is round, not oval shape. Upia demel magul, and it's the edge is in the shape is similar to like a sickle. Now the Gemara asks on this characteristic, this last one, which defines it as a tzavtzva, which is pasul. But Vatani Berlern the Braisa Doim Lamagel said that if we have the arava, which is similar to a sickle. Now a sickle is that has very narrow indentations, which are all facing one direction, which go backwards towards where the handle of the sickle is. Then kasher. Then actually, such an arava is going to be kasher. Doim Lamaser, but if it's similar to a saw, which its indentations are, there's two different markings, similar to like how a serrated knife is. We have one going one way, one going the other way. Then pasul, then such a rub is going to be pasul. However, what the Gemara's question is, that we said one of the characteristics of a pasul arava, which is a tavtzva, which is not an arava, is that it has, its edge is similar to a sickle, and yet here we see that a rava that's demilamagal is going to be kasher. So Amabai Abai says, Kitanya, when did we learn the Bryce that's going to be kosher? Is Bechilfa Gila. Is regarding the Gila willow, where it is a type of kosher willow, and yet its edge is similar to a magal. However, the other Aravis, that they have their edges are smooth. That's what we said, that those are the characteristics. But you're right, you could have a type of a willow that will be Demel Magal, and it's going to be kosher because it ultimately is a type of a Rava. These are just signs to know what's what, and the tzavtzva has all those three characteristics, therefore they're going to be known as tzavtzva, and hence that's possible. So Abaye says, Shema Mina, but one thing we can infer from this is, Haichil Fagila, obviously this Gila willow is kasher Laishana, obviously it's kasher for the halacha of Aravis, because we're saying that although it's Doim Lamagel, it's still going to be kasher. Now Sigmar's Peshitta, it's pretty obvious, as we said before, it's a type of an arava, although it's demi lamagal, that's not a problematic per se. It's just would be an identifying feature to know what's a tzavtzva, what's arava. Another Gemara says no, because ma'ad tame, I would have thought to say halva isla shem levai loy niskasher, since it has an accompanying name. It's not just kol willow; it's called the gila willow, and therefore I would think to say it's not the authentic willow, and therefore be possible. Kamash malan, the chiddush is that it's going to be kasher as arava. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'im ha'chinami. What do you mean? Say that it should be possible. We find many times throughout Shas that if it's not this name itself, it's not that, it's something else. It's a compound. Hence, it would be something that's possible. Nothing more answers no, because it doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that you have to take an arava, which would then say the gila arava is not the arava. And that the Gemara answers no, because arvi nachalim rachmanim kol makom. The Torah says that in all situations, whatever type of arava it is that grows by the brook, it's going to be kasher. That includes the gila willow too. Now, lahalacha, the Gemara says the following statement from Rav Chisda. I'm Rav Chisda. He says, Hanitlas mili, these three things, which one of them will be pertinent to what we were just discussing, ishtani shemayu michichar beis hamikdash. Their names were switched. They were swapped one with the other after the beis hamikdash was destroyed. As he says, these three cases. Chalafta, what originally was chalafta, now Rashi says that's not a reference to the chilfa gila, which is the gila willow. Rather, because that actually would be a narav, which is kasher. Rather, it's a reference to the tzavtzva. Now, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, its name was switched. Now they call that arafta. They call it tzavtzva. Today, it's called arafta, an arava. And the arafta, chalafta. What was originally called the arava is now called the chalafta. So the Gemara says, my nafkim, what's the difference in halacha? Lulav has a huge ramification for the halachas of lulav. As we said, arava is kasher, tzavtzva is not. Now, what commonly today is called tzavtzva actually is the arava, and what's called arava is the tzavtzva. So you have to be careful, be wary what you're buying, because it's only going to be what's called today tzavtzva that's going to be kasher. A second similarity was shipura. When you have what was originally called the shayfer, which was a bent horn from the ram, is chatzoitstra, is now commonly called the trumpet, which chatzoitstra is generally a term for something that's straight, which is not from a ram. Chatzaitzra, what was originally called Chatzaitzras, which was one that went straight, not from a ram, Ishipur is now called the Shefer. Gemara says, my nafkim, what's the difference? And halacha, the difference is, L'Shefer Shal Rosh Hashanah, for the Shefer of Rosh Hashanah, which has to be a one that's bent from the ram. If you're buying one, or you want to use one for Shefer today, make sure you buy the one that's called the Chatzaitzras, and not the Shefer, because what's called Chatzaitzras today is really the Shefer, the real one, when it just switched its name after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the third such a parallel is Peserta Peseira. What was originally called Peserta is now called Peseira, and what was Peseira is now called Peserta, which one's they're the same item, just one is larger, one is smaller. And what was originally called the large one was switched to now be the small one, and what was called the small one is now called the large one. So the Gemara is L'mayin Nafkimin, what's the halachic ramifications? It is L'mekach Memcha, for business purposes, so to know what a person has in mind, you should know what is the common usage, which although originally was called one way, it's called something else now. Now, I'm Abaye says, Afin the Omer, says, I also have something that has the same halachic ramifications where it was originally called one thing and then it was switched to be the opposite, which is Beikasi. Now, Beikasi is a reference to the Beis HaKaisis, which is the second out of the four stomach in ruminants. That is, those are animals that after the second stomach, they take their, bring up the food back again, they chew that, which was turned into cud, and then it goes back down to the third stomach and then the fourth stomach. So the second of the four stomachs is called the Beis HaKaisis, which it's the end, it's at the after the keres, which is the first stomach, which is called the punch. Now, that is made in the shape of cups, and that's why it's called Beis HaKaisis. Now, the wall of the Beis HaKaisis, again, the second out of the four stomachs of the animal, the wall is of that stomach is very thick, that goes around it, almost like the thickness of two walls. So that what was originally called Beis HaKaisis is now called Huvlila, which is really the name of the Hamsis, which is known as the Umasim, which is the third out of the four stomachs. And the fourth one is what's called the Keva, the Moa. So now, Huvlila, what was originally called the third stomach, is now called Beikasi, is now called the Beis HaKaisis. So the Gemara is L'mayin Nafkimin, what's the halachic ramifications? There's the second stomach, which is now called by the name of the third one, and the third one is called by the name of the second. What's the difference? That the Gemara says, L'machar ha-nimtza bo'evi Beis HaKaisis. The halachic ramification is for a needle that's found in the thickness of the wall of the one that's called the Beis HaKaisis, which was originally, it's the one of the second stomach, which it's a brayis mesech deschul and daf nom the beis that brings that if you have a needle that's found in the thickness of the wall of the Beis HaKaisis on one side, where it was stuck into the thickness, but it didn't make a hole straight through, such a hole is going to be kosher. We won't consider the animal a trefa. It didn't necessarily pierce through the entire wall, so it could still survive. And that's because the thickness of the wall blocks it and protects it because it's from both sides. But if it would go through both sides and you see that the hole is on the other side, then such an animal is called a trefa and it would obviously be a non-kosher animal. Now, the one that they call now today Beis HaKaisis, there would be no difference if you saw it only pierced on one side or if it went through both sides. Because actually, the one that they call now Beis HaKaisis was originally the one that was called Huvlila, which is the third stomach, the Hamsis, the Omasim, where there, since it's very thin, there is no difference if it's pierced on one side or the other side, because even if it went on one side, we say it's very thin, it probably went through to the other side and it's going to be treif. So therefore, that's the difference in halacha, to know that if someone now comes and finds a needle in the one that's called today Beis HaKaisis, it's going to be treif, because even though we didn't see it go through to the other side, it's actually the third stomach, which is a very thin wall. The one that we call now Huvlila is actually the Beis HaKaisis, which is a very thick and has like almost like two walls. That if it was only on one side, since this is really the second stomach, will be kosher. But if it's on both sides, then it's going to be considered treif. Amar Rav Bar Yosef, he says, Afani, I also say there's something else that has the same parallel in halacha where the names were swapped. Bavel Borsev, what was originally called Bavel is now called Borsev. Borsev Bavel, what was originally called Borsev is now what's known as Bavel. So the Gemara, we continue on to Amid Beis L'mayin Nafkimina. What's the halachic ramifications in knowing this difference in the names? The Gemara says, L'gitei Nashim is for the divorce documents that are given to the wives, which is the beginning of Masechtas Gittin begins with Hamevi Get. If someone brings a get from Medina Siam, someone brings a get from out of Eretz Yisrael. So the halacha is that the shliach, the messenger, has to say, B'fanei Nechtav, B'fanei Nechtam. I saw that in front of me was written this document and it was signed. Now, either the reason is because there's not going to be people that are able to authenticate the signatures, or because the outside of Eretz Yisrael, they're not bucky, they're not proficient in the halachas of Lishma, that the get has to be written just for this wife. Now, whereas if someone brings a get in Eretz Yisrael, he doesn't have to say b'fana nechta, b'fana nechta, because A, they are bucky in Lishma, they know the halacha very well of Lishma in Eretz Yisrael, and those are people that are always coming out throughout Eretz Yisrael to Yerushalayim because they're Oyel L'Regel, 3 times a year they come, so there's always going to be witnesses to be able to testify for the authenticity of the signatures. Now, there the Gemara says in Davav, Masechtas Gittin, that Bavel has the same halacha like Eretz Yisrael for Gittin for divorce documents. First of all, because they are B'nai Torah and they're B'kin Lishma. And also because the B'nai Yeshiva are always coming up from Bavel, Teretz Yisrael to learn Torah from all different places. So there is always going to be people that could be Mekayim, the Chasimis. Now, Bursa was a place near Bavel, but they were not B'nai Torah. As the Gemara said in the Sanhedrin, that why was it called Bursiv? Because it was a bor, Shesafwes Memov. It's like an empty pit that all the water was taken out. Now, if someone brings a get from Bursiv, he has to say B'fanenachtim, because they're not coming up to learn, so there's no Chasimis to validate the Chasimis, and they're also not B'kin Lishma. But that's what the Gemara is saying now that the names were swapped. Actually, someone that brings a get from Bavel has to say B'fanenachtim, and from Bursiv, it doesn't have to, because Bursiv is actually the place which was known before the Churban as Bavel, and that's the place where the B'kin Lishma, and that they have always people coming up so they can be Mekayim, the Chasimis. Now, the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, culminating the discussion that we had with the Hadas, with Hadassim and Aravis and the Lulav. So Bishmal Leimer, he says, Shleisha Hadassim. If one has to, wants to take the proper dal meaning, he has to take this amount of the following items. So he says, you have to take three Hadassim, which the Gemara will learn how do we know that, to have three myrtles. Bishtei Aravis and two willows. Lulav Echad, one Lulav. Ve'esrik Echad, and one Esrik. And he says that regarding the Hadassim, Afilish Naim Ketumim, even if two out of the three are, their top is chopped off, the Echad ain't a katim, and if one of them is not chopped off, so that's going to be okay, even though two of them are katim on the top. Now, the Gemara will ask, well, Manavshach. In other words, either way you look at it, how do we understand such a compromise? And that is, if katim, if the fact that the Hadassim are cut off on the top is invalidating, and you need to have three, so all of them should have to be shleim. Why would it be good if only one of them is? And if you say that katam is kasher, so then all three should be kasher if they're katam. Why does one have to be whole? So the Gemara will ultimately answer that Rabbi Shmuel retracted what he originally started off in the statement that he required to have three. And he said that even if two are katam, and the same thing would apply, even if two out of three you wouldn't even bring at all, because the halacha is that katam is like it's not even there, it is totally possible, and he only requires one. And that's what he means to say, at least one of them has to be not katam, because really he retracted and says you don't need three, you only need one. He says you have to have three, but even if three of them are katim, it's okay because he doesn't require the halach of hadar by hadasim, and therefore, although it's not mahudar, it's not beautiful when the top is chopped off, he's okay with that. That's not a problem. He says, k'shem shalulav echad ve'esrig echad, just like we know that the lulav is one and the esrig is one, k'achadas echad v'arav achas, he holds so too the myrtle and the willow also only need one of each. Now the Gemara explains these opinions in the Braisa. Tanya, learn the Braisa. Bishmol says, and he was the opening opinion in our Mishnah, he says, I'll show you where do I know this from, that you have to have, as our Lulavim do, have three Hadassim, two Arabis, one Lulav, and one Esrig. Because pre-Eitz Hadar, when it's describing the Esrig, it says the fruit of the beautiful tree, which is Echad, that's pre, is a singular. Kapas Tamo, when it's describing the Lulav, It's saying kapas tamar. That's echa. That's one, it sounds like, because kapas is written without a vav chaser, which is like kapas, which is a singular too. When it describes the hadasim, it uses three terminologies. Anaf, the shoot, that's one. Eitz, the tree, that's one. Avis, that's plated, that's one. Which makes for a total of shleisha of three. Those are three different terms, which tells you that you have to have three hadasim. When it describes the aravis, is arvinachal, which is plural, that's the willows of the brook, that's shtayim, that's two. And therefore you see this amount that you have to have of each of the dalad minim. Now, Bishmol continues and he says, v'afilashnaim ketumim, even if two of the hadasim are cut off on the top, the echad she'ena katim, and one is not, that will also be kasher, that's not a problem. Tarfanaimer, he says, shloisha, he says you have to have three, but v'afilashlasha ketumim, even if three of them, all their heads are chopped off, it's okay, as we said in the Mishnah, because he holds you don't have to have hadar by the hadasim. Reb Kiva, I mean, he was the final opinion in the Mishnah. He says, "Kishem shalulav echad ve'esrig echad." Just like lulav and esrig, we know that you only need one of each. Kachadas echad va'rabba achasot to hadasim and rabbis, you only need to have one of each. Now, Amalei Rebbe Lezer said to him, "Yochli hei esrig imoin bagoda achas." You would think, and this is a general statement to everybody, he said, you would think that you would have to have the esrig that's attached to the rest of the. We know that we bind together the lulav and the hadasim and the rabbis, you would think the esrog has to be attached with them too. So I'm ready. So you would say, no, look at the pasuk. Chinema pre-eitz hadar v'chapas tamar. Does the pasuk say that you have to have an esrog and a lulav? In other words, that there should be a vav, that the vav should attach the lulav to the esrog to say that they have to be together? It only says kapas without a vav, which sounds like that it comes by itself, not with the esrog. whereas Anaf eats Aves, it says with a Vav, and Avi Nachla says with a Vav, to tell you that they are connected, that the Vav is called Vav Achibur, that attaches, and means it's with it, which they are attached, and that's why we bind together the Lulav, the Aravas and Adasim, but not the Esrik. Now, Minayin Shema Akim Zazah, where do we know that if one is missing one of the Dalad Minim, that by just taking the other three has not fulfilled the mitzvah, that they withhold the validity of the others? Tamalevi B'lekachtim, it says that one should take the Dalad Minim, which means a contraction of Shtei Likicha Tama, that it should be a complete taking, which is understanding the word V'lekachtim, that you should take it, V'lo Kachtam, you should take a complete taking, which means to say that all four, and if you don't, one has not fulfilled the Chiyav of taking any one of the Dalad Minim. Now the Gemara asks on the opinions in the Brises. So the first opinion that we mentioned was Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel, that he says it's kosher, as we alluded to this problem in the Mishnah, he says that two of them are kosher of the three hadasim if they're katim, if the top is chopped off, but one has to be complete, not katim. Now, where does the pasuk differentiate? And the Gemara says, manavshach. Either way you look at it, it's hard to understand. Ish leman bayi, if he requires hadasim have to be, hadar has to have beauty, which would be problematic if the top was katim, so then he means he needs them to be complete. So labayi namikula, let all three require that. If you need three hadasim, so then all of them have to be in the category of hadar. So they all have to be complete. And Eloi Ba'ishlam, if he doesn't hold that you have to have complete, once he doesn't hold that you have a halach of hadr for adasim, then even one you shouldn't have to have. Why two, yes, and one you need to have it to be not katam. So Ami Bira, who's the name of a chacham, he said that Amir Abami, Chazer Rabbi Shmuel retracted from what he started off with, and ultimately he says, you're right, you don't need three, you only need one. But that one has to be hadr, and that's why that one has to be not katim. But the other two, you're right, you don't have to bring, and that's what he said, that they can be katim, because he retracted and said, you only need one. Now, Amar Yehuda Mishmol, halachic Reb Tarfon, he paskins, halachic like Reb Tarfon, which is a leniency, which he holds the hadassah, don't have to be hadr, and if they are katim, if the top is broken off, it's going to be kasher. Now the Gemara wants to say, v'az the Shmuel tamei, and we see Shmuel elsewhere is going according to his opinion that's mentioned, because the amalahu Shmuel ahanu de mezavni asi. Shmuel told to those who are selling the hadasim, he says, look, ashvu v'zavinu. Ashvu means that make it shavius, make it, sell it according to its worth, its proper market value. Don't increase the price because people are trying to get three complete hadasim, which is very challenging, so you're inflating the price. Don't do that. V'ilayin, if you don't listen to me, if you don't make it as its value is, darishna l'chu k'rib tarfin, I'm going to expound in the public that the halacha is like Reb Tarfon, who he says, you know what, you don't need shleimim, it's kosher even if the top is broken off, which can be much easier to find. You're going to lose your what you're trying to sell, and therefore make it market value, or else I'm going to go out and say the halacha is like Reb Tarfon. Now the question is, my time. Why did Shmuel tell them that type of a threat, that he said, look, I'm going to say halachas like Reb Tarfon? Ile mishum de mekel, if the reason would be that it's not because Shmuel actually held halachas like Reb Tarfon, it's just because he wanted to scare them with the most lenient opinion, and he says, look, I'm going to say that halachas, even that three broken ones are kasher, but if that's the case, v'lidrish lehukar Reb Akiva de mekel tvei, he could have scared them even more, he could have said, look, I'm going to say halachas like Reb Akiva, who is even more lenient, because he holds you don't even need three, you only need one. Now, obviously, from the fact that he didn't say that, is because it wasn't just an empty threat. He wasn't just trying to scare them. He actually held halachas like Reb Tarfon as he's passing the Na'u Gemara, the halachas like Reb Tarfon, and we see he's lishay tasay, what he was telling them, that three of them, really, even if they're broken, are going to be kosher. And I think Gemara says, actually, that wouldn't support this idea that he necessarily held halachas like Reb Tarfon. And maybe it was just a scare tactic, and he was trying to say the most lenient opinion. Now, t'lasa ketume shchichi, three broken hadasim, you can find. Chad v'lo katam, lo shchiach. To do like Reb Akiva, to say that as a threat, is not even such a big threat, because it's even hard to find one that doesn't have the top of the hadasim broken off. And therefore, it's not a riot, because it could be he wouldn't hold like the halachas of Reb Tarfon, and he was just trying to scare them. And the scariest one is, you know what? It's much easier to find three broken ones than even one whole one. So he said, if you don't make the market value of these three whole ones they're trying to get, I'll say the halacha is like Reb Tarfon, that even three broken ones you could have, which really got them scared, because that is found, and then they're going to lose the value of what they're trying to make off the hadasim that they're selling. Now the Gemara continues with the final of the four dalad minim that we were speaking about, that of the estrik. So the Mishnah begins as it did regarding the other three types. Estrig, regarding the estrig, ha-guzzle, that's stolen, ha-yabush, or it's dried out, puzzle, that's puzzle. Shall Asher b'shel Anidach has posted regarding if it served as an Asherit tree or if the majority of the inhabitants of that city, which were incited by the inhabitants themselves that were there, they served idols. Pasul, again, those are going to be pasul, as we said in previous Mishnahs, won't have a measurement. Shall Arla pasul, if the estrig is from an Arla, which is the first 3 years that a tree is giving off produce, if these estrigim are Arla, it's pasul. Shall Truma Tumeya, if this estrig is Truma, that's Tame, it's going to be pasul, which the Gemara will explain the reason of this Arla and Truma, that's Tame, why it's pasul. Shall Truma Tahira, regarding if it's Truma, which means to say that it's what's separated from produce which is given to the Kayan, now, however, but it's Tahar, it's not Tame, then Lo Yitol, one should still not take it as the estrig for the Yom Tov of Sukkos, which Gemara will explain the reason for that. But if not Lo Kasher, in the case of when it's Truma but it's Tahar, then if one does take it, he has fulfilled his chiyuv of using the estrig of the Dalminim. Shall Demai, if this estrig is from Demai, which Demai is when the Amaratzim, those who are fairly ignorant of certain halachas, they wouldn't take off the necessary maisras, which therefore there's a question if this is tevel or not, which there's an obligation then for one who buys an Amaratz to separate those tithes. So if one has an estrig from an Amaratz, which is Demai, then there's a machlokes. B'shamei paislin, b'shamei machshir, b'shamei say such an estrig is going to be possible to use, and b'shamei say it's going to be kosher. Shal maiser sheni b'Yerushalayim, regarding if this estrig is from maiser sheni, which is amongst a person's produce, he has to take off 1/10, which is then brought to Yerushalayim and consumed over there, or its value is then switched onto money, which then that's going and consumed in Yerushalayim. So if this estrig is from that 10th, which is brought to Yerushalayim, that which is kosher to eat it as maaser sheni, then lo yitol, one should still not take it as the estrig, as the Gemara will explain the reason. V'im not lo kosher, however, if one has used such an estrig for the dal minim, it's kosher, because since he's in Yerushalayim and he's permitted to eat it, so therefore that's considered lochem. But again, if he had this maaser sheni and he wasn't in Yerushalayim, then he wouldn't be able to use that even after the fact, because it has to be that the dal minim are lochem, which means say something that's fit for you, and maaser sheni out of Yerushalayim is not fit for the person to eat. Therefore, if it was not, it wouldn't be kosher. The Mishnah continues, also chazaz al rubai. If chazazis, which are these thin type of boil like things, which are on the estrig, if that went across the majority, it's over the majority of the body of the estrig, or nitla pit masai, or if the pitim, which is the top of the estrig, which is the part which grows opposite of where it starts growing from on the tree, which on its top has the sheshanta, that's the little wooden piece that grows on the tip of the estrig, if that was taken off, or niklaf, or if the estrig was peeled, or nistak, or if the estrig was split, or nikev v'chaser kalshu, or if there was a hole in the estrig and part of it is missing, which, as Rashi explains, that's one halacha, because if it has a hole but nothing was missing from it, for example, let's say someone stuck a needle in it and took it out, it's going to be kosher, as the end of the Mishnah is going to explain. So all these cases are possible if one has one of these problems in the estrig. However, also chazaz ami'uta, if these chazazes are over only a minority of the estrig, or notel uktzai, or if let's say the tail of the estrig was taken off, which that's the part where it grows from the bud, from the tree, or nikev lechaser kosher, if let's say one made a hole in the estrig, but nothing from it was missing, you put in the needle, took it right out, then kosher, such an estrig is going to be kosher. Now the Mishnah says, estrig, now the Mishnah brings a few different machlekes in. Estrig hakushi, regarding an estrig from the land of Kush, from Ethiopia, which are black, pasul, such an estrig is going to be pasul. However, Yarkikarti, if it's green like leek, Remeir Machsher, Rabbi Huda Paisel, Meir says Kasher, Rabbi Huda says Pasel. Shir Estrig HaKotten, what's the smallest measurement that the Estrig could be? Remeir Armike Egges, he says the size of a walnut. Rabbi Huda Armike Bey says the size of an egg. Ubegadlin, how large an Estrig could be, and not larger than that, is Kedishi Achish Shnaim Biyadai, Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda says it's that if you can hold at least two of them in your hand, it can't be larger than that. Rabbi Yisrael, he argues, he says, it could be even as large as that you would only be able to hold one of them in both of your hands.